The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on 100.2 FM, on Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and I have two fantastic guests in the studio, the lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who as well as being our next guest, has also been stepped into the fray as my co-host as well, because Jules did a runner.
Yeah.
So big thank you to Gemma for that. And we also heard in the first part of the show, but she's still going to be with us and contributing, we heard from Loretta Wright of Life in Magazines. And I had a tweet a little while back, so sorry about this, Liz. I didn't see it. I've just seen it, and it is... I'm going to give it a shout-out. It's from Nurse Liz, and Nurse Liz is a long-time listener of the show, and she says, good morning from a very cloudy Pennsylvania.
Aww.
So Liz is based in Pennsylvania on the east coast of the United States, and she's been an avid listener of the show for many years, so thank you, Liz. She has to get up really early because of the time difference to listen to this rubbish.
Good for you, Liz.
So thank you, Liz, and I hope you're well, and... I'm afraid Jules isn't here because she's done a runner, but I'm sure she'll talk to you on socials. So welcome, Liz. Thank you very much. Oh, here we go. Pictures from Ibiza. Jules has said, give Gemma a great big hug from me. I've just done the washing up.
Oh, you've got to do the washing up, Jules,
yeah,
on your birthday.
And our mum, who's 91, just swept the kitchen floor.
Oh.
Right. she says, I'm in Ibiza. Josh, that's her son, has arrived, so he's on 8 eggs for breakfast, 5 whites and 3 with yolks.
Getting the protein in.
Yeah, what do you do with the other 2 yolks then?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's weird, isn't it? Eggnog or something? I don't know. Were you 5 whites and 3 yolks, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing, Gemma, Sarah Marsh Collins.
Mm.
She says, I'm guessing Gemma might talk about the retained EU law bill and its implications.
Okay, then. I can do, yeah.
Amongst
do.
Other things, amongst always good to have things explained by an expert, she says. Okay. We might talk about that if you fancy
well,
it.
Well, we might as well.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
get straight stuck in there, actually.
Yeah.
I love the spontaneity of this. <day. That's right.
laughs> Someone said to me, I went to the gym this morning because that's my new thing, and my teacher said, well, what you be talking about? I was like, no. Business, employment law, I'm
anything
sure.
And everything.
I just need to do this because I've been instructed to from Liz in Pennsylvania. She says, I'm missing Jules on the Business Bunker. Yeah, but it's just as good without her. Honestly, Liz, really. But she says, Paul, can you please reintroduce the guests and co-hosts because I tuned in late.
Oh.
So, of course, I can. I have 2 guests, one of whom has kindly also taken up the duties of co-host. So in the first part of the show, we heard from Loretta Wright, who's the editor and a publisher of Life In magazines in Bromley and Orpington, which are areas of... Well, depending on which way you look at it, they're London boroughs, but we all think they're
out of Kent.
Yeah, yeah. South London.
South London.
South London, isn't it, eh? They're South London, Liz. So Loretta was on in the first part of the show, and Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who is the principal of Orchard Employment Law and who's an HR lawyer, she is the other guest, and we're going to hear from her very shortly, but she's also kindly stepped into the breach and is also helping me co-host.
Thanks, yeah.
Mm.
Nice to meet you, Liz.
Yeah. So I'll just catch up with some of these... see, that Jules is dominating the timeline now. They're all talking to her about her dinner and egg yolks and other nonsense. Let's see what we got. It's all Jules now. She's woken up. She's woken up. She's got up. She's got a hangover, probably. Wayne Cunnington, who's a regular listener, says, Paul, Jules is missing out on the accents this morning. Yeah, that would be my Dudley approach, wouldn't it? And he says, but you have some really interesting guests on today. We do indeed, Wayne. They are fantastic. And we're just about to hear from another one. So why don't we introduce properly Gemma, and then we'll talk to Gemma about EU laws and all kinds of other things. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, as I said, who's the principal of Orchard Employment Law. She's an HR lawyer. Gemma, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been a while, hasn't
it? Yeah, it's been a little while now.
It's been a little while.
Good few years.
Yeah. So it's good to have you back, and thank you. And sorry for, you know, kind of landing you in it when you got here, but you're a professional. Okay. You're a consummate professional, so it's not a problem. So you're a very sought after public speaker as well, aren't you?
So they say. Mm. Yeah. It's funny because my I mentioned just had these braces put in, and the guy said, "Well, you know, you'll be talking funny for about a week until you get used to them." I was like, "You don't understand. I talk so much in 2 hours.
They'll be worn out.
Yeah. I am quite fortunate in that I do get asked to do lots of public speaking, something I fell into, but it turns out I quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
And people listen. That's even funnier. Yeah.
And, but you actually speak on a range of subjects as well, isn't it? It isn't always just about law, HR and stuff like that.
No. I mean, there are those people like Sarah and myself who find employment law riveting. but for some reason, there are people who are not, and we don't judge you. for not having our passion. But I think, so last week I celebrated 8 years in business.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And so I talk about things that I've experienced because the likelihood is lots of people have experienced it or will experience it or could learn something which I've experienced from my experiences. So I often talk about business in general, you know, going from being a startup, growth, because I have a team as well, what that's like. Mm. Some of the challenges that I see, because I work with so many other businesses, we're a B2B organisation, so we're actually supporting around 300 businesses at the moment, and so we get to hear so many different challenges and solutions and funny stories.
And funny stories.
And of course everything's really discreet, we'd never mention any names or give away any detail, but you know, I can use those things to help others, so I talk about those things as well as other things such as diversity, women in business, and all bits, anything you ask me to speak about, I'll speak about. Basically.
I want to talk about this because, like a lot of, I've been in business for myself 30 years now, almost, blimey. And again, you know, when you first start off, you tend to be passionate about whatever it is you're doing. I can't even remember what I was doing when I first started, but whatever it was I was passionate about. What you're not passionate about is VAT, bookkeeping, and HR. But you quickly learn that you have to either learn something about that or work with someone like Gemma that does. Luckily, I just go, Gemma, you're my HR woman, you just do it. Yeah, I don't care, I don't understand what it means, sort it out for me. But being serious for a minute, you know, I think you made reference to this earlier, and I can well believe it. HR law is the fastest changing area of law there is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in a race sometimes between HR law and tax law because every time we get a new cabinet in, they want to change things, and that's happened a lot recently. So we're getting some changes.
I think I put the cat amongst the pigeons with that as well, tax law.
Did you?
This is how sad I've become, yeah. I actually know a fair bit, I'm not an expert and I'm not a specialist, but I know a fair bit about tax just because I've had to do so many different things with the businesses I've owned. Mm. And there's a big thing going on at the moment, but it involves a journalist that lost a court case. And she's currently crowdfunding to pay the fines and what have you. And I just thought to myself, I wonder what the tax implication of that is.
Yeah.
So I started looking it up, and a lot of people go, no, you can crowdfund without tax, but you can't. I looked it up. You cannot.
But do people know that? People don't know that.
No, people don't know that. Oh. If you're a charity, you can. Mm. Yeah, and there are certain categories of things that you can crowdfund for that are tax exempt, but not only do you have to pay income tax on it, some of it you have to charge VAT as well.
Wow.
And I published that and everybody went into meltdown. Anyway, let's talk about HR law, because you're right. I mean, those two things affect everybody as well.
Taxes,
HR and death.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, you're going to go through it at some stage. It's like, you'll know somebody who is.
Yeah.
So, you know, like when I go on holiday, I never tell people what I do. I always try and make up something which is far less useful.
What do you normally say?
I don't know. Whatever I say always ends up being useful. That's the only problem. him. Because otherwise you get people going, oh, really? And you're trying to enjoy yourself on the beach. I've got this problem.
We all know, we always know someone, don't we? They're wow, it's funny you should say that. Okay. First off, give us a little bit of background into Gemma, and you've been going 8 years now, and your business has gone from strength to strength to strength, which is no surprise because you're a determined, driven lady. But you're also great fun, and you just have this way about you of just making it all sound so easy when you're taking our money off us.
Oh, thank you. It's a special skill set.
So I'm
a Kent girl now, I have to say that, because I've lived in Kent longer than I
from
have.
From Wolverhampton.
But I am originally from Wolverhampton, which is why I do say things like glass and not glass, because there's no R in there. And I think one of the beauties about moving across the country is that you learn to meet people where they are. And I think that happened even accent-wise. I remember when I first started going to school and I'd say, donut. And people would go, what did you just say to donut? And so you learn to almost adapt. You're not mimicking. Not all the time, anyway. You're not mimicking, but you learn to adapt and to be able to meet people at whatever level or whatever it is that they have. And I think that's, you know, helped me immensely in business to get to this eight-year marker that we've just celebrated. Mm. So I didn't really mean to go into business. I think some people know. I won't tell the whole story, but I was just thinking about it. If you watch TikTok like me too much, I was just thinking about it. I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I was just thinking about it, and I inquired about redundancy, and in the end I had to take it because it was, well, I mentioned that they were doing some illegal things, but I just thought, well, I'll give it a go, I'll try for 12 months and see what happened, and I'm still here. And I've just learned that, you know, originally I wanted to be just like my ex-employer but better, and now I'm like, I don't want to be anything like them. Yeah, there are some good things I've taken from them, but actually people like coming to Orchard because we talk to you normally. You know, everything's clear and uncomplicated. Mm. Sometimes our clients don't even know what they're asking. And they say that. Yeah, I don't know what I'm asking. I said, just keep talking. And then I go, oh, stop. All right, I figured out what you're asking me there.
It's very true, isn't it? You know, and it's one of those things about small businesses. One of the reasons, and there are two or three different reasons, but one of the reasons so many businesses start to grow a business and come to a screaming halt is when they've got to employ people. And then they start getting collywobbles and they go, if I've got to employ people, do I have to have a contract of employment? Do I have to give them holiday pay? What if they go pregnant? You know, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so many people are scared off of it because they don't understand. And one of the things that I was the same when I first started my businesses, I was the same. And then you did get a number of people, you've met them as well, that were like, oh, ignore that, you don't have to do that, you're too small to bother about things like that. And you go, even if that was true, at some point in the future, that could come back to bite you. So while we're small, why don't we do it properly yet? First up,
because it's so much harder. I mean, and harder in a number of ways. One is, it's a bit like love and marriage. It's easier to have a prenup than it is to ask for things in the divorce. Okay,
So
it's much easier to get things on paper beforehand. And the other thing is that actually, even culturally, if you change things when you've got to 15, 20, 35 members of staff, your original people who've got all this knowledge and, you know, you like them and they like you, they start thinking, well, that wasn't a thing before, and then you create more problems. So actually, if we can start ironing out those systems and processes, making sure that you're doing things legally and understanding where the business is going, doesn't mean you can't change, but if you understand that from earlier on, then we have less problems later. I can't say no problems, but less.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But
less.
Absolutely. But it's like so many things, isn't it? People don't do it. Or they put it off, or they just don't want to spend the money doing it. And then
I feel like it's 50-50, Paul. There are those people who blatantly don't want to, and there are those that think they don't have to, or somebody, usually down the pub, has told them that they don't have to. So you've got people, I don't have any employees. Okay, interesting. So those people that work for you, is there a contract? No. Right, so do you pay them into their personal account or business account? Their personal account, okay. Do they have a unique tax reference number or a limited company? No, they don't. Who provides their equipment? Oh, I provide their equipment. Do they earn the same amount of money every month? Yeah, they earn the same amount of money. I think you might find you have employees.
Yeah.
You just don't know about it. And it's fine when they don't know about it, but one day they might find out about it, and then you've got an Uber situation,
yeah.
Or a Pimlico plumber situation.
Absolutely, yeah. And one of the things about employment law, and I want your view on this as well, a lot of it is still in the realms of case law, in terms of there's not a definitive statement. You know, I mean, the classic is IR35. If HMRC or people start getting fruity about IR35, it normally ends in a court case to prove it one way or the other, because there are no definitive rules that are easily understood.
And that's one of the reasons why it's constantly changing. So I think the biggest thing at the moment, case law-wise, that's getting everybody's knickers in a twist, is holiday pay for casual workers or people who work part year, so term time. So originally it was really easy with just saying 12.07%, you know, as they work 10 hours, say, right, you've got 12.07% of that, that's your holiday entitlement. Mm. And then this lady, who happened to be a music teacher, said, no, I don't think that's fair. Now the judge made a decision that said, actually, this person should get 5.6 weeks, so the equivalent of 28 days if it was full-time, a holiday from day one. So it's no. So if somebody works for you on a casual, what that means is if someone works for you casually, let's say they're a 0 hours worker, and they work for you for 1 week, they're entitled to a 5.6 week holiday immediately.
Yep.
And then they might not ever work for you again. They've only done 1 week. Mm. So in one way, the workaround, if you're listening, get closer to the radio, the workaround is to put people on short-term contracts. That way, you can work out the holiday for that short term rather than casual.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? And one of the other things I want to ask you, and I'm not even sure how to answer the question. No, I am. I saw recently, I think it was the Range, the big...
Garden Centre.
Garden Centre people, just got done for not paying minimum wage.
Yeah.
Mm. Yet they were paying their workers £11 an hour.
Wow.
But, and this is kind of what I want to ask you, is there a definitive way that you work out minimum wage? Because what they did was what most of us just thought you would do. They go, how much do I pay an hour? The minimum wage is £10.42 or whatever it is. Mm. I'm paying more than that, so I'm paying minimum wage. Mm. But for some reason, they got done, because when you looked at how long they'd been employed over a period of time, it didn't, and you took it over a 12-month period, it didn't work out the same or something.
Well, that's interesting. I'm not sure what happened with the Range. I know years ago, is it Mike Ashley, Sports Direct, he got in trouble for a similar type of thing, because he was asking people to come in, say, 10, 15 minutes early and then checking their bags as they leave. So they ended up doing an extra half hour each you know, each day. And so that took them below minimum wage. So it could be something like that.
I'm fairly sure it was something like that, that where they asked them to do something, if you computed it in a different way, it meant they'd done so many hours and it just fell below minimum wage. Is there a definitive way that it's worked out?
Well, you should really clock in and clock out, to be honest. That would be the easiest way, or pay way above minimum wage and you don't have that problem. I can't remember the period. There is a particular period, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head that you need to work it out on.
Right.
There is a way.
And, but that that is another one of the many of the many ways that HR law impacts businesses, and it's not even business trying to get around it, you know, just trying to understand it when, you know, if you're a plumber or a florist or a hairdresser and then you spend all your time trying to understand this stuff, it'd drive you bonkers.
It's a minefield, isn't it? Crazy.
So what's the big thing at the moment? What's this EU nonsense that Sarah's talking about?
It's big and it's not really big. So, as we know with Brexit, they've promised to rip the rule book up and make life easier for employers, and in one regard they have done. So we've been waiting on tenterhooks for what they're going to do with EU law. The thing about it is, though, UK law has always, employment law has always been quite generous, and in some ways it's more generous than it is in the EU. So an example of that is, EU law says you get a 4 weeks holiday a year.
Yeah.
And we give 5.6 because we have bank holidays. So we were already ahead of that. So one of the things they said is, well, we're going to change the way that you work out holiday. And they used the ordinary holiday and these legal terms, basically. But nothing has actually changed. So we're still going to be given 5.6 weeks holiday. That's one thing. The second thing that they said they're tearing up the rule book on is, I just hated this one, rolled up holiday, which is annoying because I've been campaigning about rolled up holiday for years. So rolled up holiday is, again, thinking about those casual workers, etc., where you say you earn £10 an hour. You can't do that, but I'm just not that great with maths, so I'm using that figure, okay? You earn £10 an hour. We're going to add you 12.07%, so now you get £12 and £7 per hour instead of us paying you holiday. You get your holiday pay rolled up in your hourly rate.
Right.
Okay, that has been illegal forever, for a long time, because of case law. And the reason why it's illegal is because holiday is really about rest. It's not about money. You pay people rolled up holiday, they don't take a week off, because guess what? They get no pay, then they get sick, government has now said, well, actually, we're going to scrap that. You can pay rolled up holiday if you want to.
Right.
I don't think that's a good thing.
No.
I don't think it's a good thing. You know, we're going to have presenteeism. We're going to have people getting burnt out.
Yeah.
In the long term, that will impact businesses anyway. I think let people have their holiday and take it and have that time out of that business. Something else they said they're changing. So the EU said working time directions. So they're the things which say you can't work more than 48 hours without signing a waiver, etc. And the onus was on the business to keep records of how many hours people are working and if they're taking their rest break. So your contract might say you get 40 minutes rest, but you really should tell people to take their rest, you know. Government sort of said, well, look, they're adults. It's not up to you to keep a record of it. If they don't do it, then let it fall on them. So they have, in one way, shifted the responsibilities towards the employers rather than the employees. And then the final thing, which I think might be a big thing, actually will be a big thing, we haven't got a date for it yet, is what we call restrictive covenants. So those are post-termination clauses. So when you're starting out employing people, you want to make sure that when they leave, they don't take all your juicy KFC recipes, 11 spices. They don't go to your competitor next door and start off GFC or JFC if it's Gemma's, you know, favourite chicken. You know, we have all those things in. They're actually saying, no, we're going to change that because it's impacted people being able to find work. So what they're thinking about doing is reducing the amount of time by which you can say someone can work for a competitor.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because it really depends on what level of employee you are as well. You know, if you're just working at front of house, you're not likely to know the secret recipe of KFC.
Yeah.
And if you want to go and work at McDonald's, then, you know, you want to go and work at McDonald's, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really difficult one. I'm just recruiting at the moment, and when I was writing the ad, I suddenly had this, I wonder how that works, because I'm recruiting for a coffee shop manager, and a coffee shop is open 6 days a week, but I only require a person to work 5 days a week, but those 5 days could be any slot within those six, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. So I thought, I've got to make that clear by saying how many hours you'd work, and then I thought, but I don't know how many hours that will be work. You know, is it a 40-hour week or is it a 35-hour week? And when you specify how many hours, does it include the hour lunch and the breaks or not? So I confused myself.
You've asked quite a few questions in there.
Yeah.
So number one, the rules changed in 2020 because the rules on employment contracts changed. Mm. You now have to say the business opening hours in a contract as well as the working hours. So you would say the business is open Monday to Saturday. And then you'll say, and you'll be required to work 5 days between over those 6 days.
Yeah.
So that's your first problem sorted.
I got that bit
got
right.
The word flexible in there.
Yeah,
we always want to put flexible in there.
Yeah.
The second thing was you said about.
I was thinking about working hours.
Working hours.
Yeah. So the way I view it is you kind of work 9 to 5. Yeah. Mm. And if you add up 5 times 9 to 5, that's what 40 hours a week or whatever.
But if you take out an hour lunch break, it's
35. It's 35.
Yeah.
So do you specify the 35 or do you specify the 40?
So again, that comes to the contract. Some people would say 40 hours including a lunch break, and some people say 35 hours excluding the lunch break.
Yeah. But as long as you're specific about that, it doesn't matter either way. Yeah. I just had a funny 5 minutes about it. Hold on a minute.
Because that's another thing as well, lunch breaks. People always, I don't know why, people assume you have to get half an hour or an hour.
Yeah.
Actually, it's quite a measly amount. It's only 20 minutes if you're working 6 hours or more. It's not really a great deal of, of holiday that you're entitled, rest breaks that you're entitled to.
Yeah. Well, because... I'm not trying to get free of it. She's my HR consultant anyway. She'll send me a bill for this in any case. Yeah. But again, this was just a thought point to me. It wasn't particularly part of the advert, but it's a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. So our busiest time is going to be lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
So while you were just saying that, I just kind of thought, when you're talking about breaks...
Mm.
The one thing I'm not going to do is give you a lunch break at lunchtime because it's going to be the busiest time when everybody else is coming in for their lunch. Are there rules about when these breaks have to take part?
Yes, the break shouldn't really be at the end or the beginning of the day.
Your lunch is at 8:30 till 9.
It should be somewhere in the middle of the day where possible, but you know there is that practicality element in there.
Yeah.
So if your busiest time is 12 till 2, you might say go it.
Quarter to two. In general, I just want to talk about for businesses starting to employ people, some of the things that they need to think about having in place when they start to employ people. Can you just run over some of the major things that they need to get done?
So one thing is money, actually. You want to make sure you can pay your staff, and by paying your staff, it's not just paying this hourly rate. So the cost of employing people is not your hourly rate. There are other things you need to put in place. So you might need to pay a pension if they're earning over a certain amount. There's going to be national insurance, there's going to be tax. So you want to make sure that you've got, I'd say ideally, not at least 2 to 3 months money to keep ticking over. And then you need the contract. So again, things changed in 2020. Previously we had, you know, you could issue a contract 8 weeks later. Now you've got to do it by day one. It's just like, wow, okay, great. So you want to make sure you get that in place. And there are different levels of contracts. You know, there are things you can print off the internet that will be absolutely fine. There are organisations where you can download contracts and they'll be absolutely fine. But depending on what you're doing, you know, as we were talking about, if you need those post-termination clauses, then you want to see an expert and make sure you've got something that's dotting your I's and crossing your T's.
Okay.
And you need to think about how you're employing people. So there's a thing called worker status, which is not everybody's an employee. So some people are employees and other people are workers, which are not quite an employee and not quite self-employed. For a worker, or like a casual worker, for instance, they have some rights, but not all of the rights. They're entitled to holiday pay, they're entitled to minimum wage, but they're not entitled to things like redundancy should that happen. And if you haven't got work to offer them, then they don't have to do it. But when you give them the work, you kind of expect them to turn up. So as well as thinking about your worker status and making sure you've got your contract in place, you also need to make sure that health and safety-wise, now we don't do health and safety, we usually refer to a business called HawkSafe, but you want to make sure that you're doing the right things health and safety-wise and data protection-wise as well.
Right.
But don't think this is scary, guys. I know it sounds scary because I'm talking about it on the radio, but you can walk through it and you can build your way up. If you've got 5 or more people working in the business, and this sometimes catches people out, because working in the business doesn't mean 5 employees. That can mean freelancers, contractors, it can mean yourself as the owner, if you've got another business partner or another director. If you've got 5 people in the business, there are some policies which you must have. That's a health and safety policy. You must have a data protection, disciplinary, and a capability and grievance. You must have those. That's actually a legal requirement.
Right.
And then after that, if you want a handbook or policies, you can build them as you go.
Okay. So there are things that you need to do, and it's always not necessarily as straightforward as you think it is. It's a bit like insurance as well for a business, you know, where you have employee liability insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely need employee.
You need to have it, but I know people that go, but I haven't got any employees. You go, but you have people regularly working in your building, so you've got to insure them. Absolutely. I mean, the best thing is to go to someone like Gemma and get her to do it for you, because she's brilliant. You know, I mean, I'm serious. You know, you can mess about with these things as much as you like, but if you've got someone that knows what they're doing it, then
it helps.
You know, you know, why waste your time? Because time is money. And so many people balk at things when they go, oh, you know, well, they're going to charge me 200 quid to do this. And you go, yeah, well, okay, but it's going to cost you 400 or 500 quid of your time to go away and research it and think about it, and you might not come up with the right thing anyway.
Yeah, yeah. 4,000 later on, if it all goes
big time. Yeah. And I have been in employer tribunals twice in my business life. It is not an experience that you want to have. No matter how right you think you are, you're always wrong. I actually, surprisingly, actually won one of my cases in a tribunal, because the employee concerned was a complete, total and utter idiot and just lied, basically, and we could prove it. But even then, it was 18 months of hell. It was
sometimes it's longer now.
Yeah, and we employed lawyers, and you can't, you don't get the fees back or anything like that. So it cost us a lot of money just to prove we were right.
Yeah.
And in the other case, it cost us a lot of money to prove we were wrong. why get yourself into that situation in the first place, you know, by doing it right? I've told this story a million times, so I'm not going to tell it again, but somebody said to me, we had a go at someone that worked for us once about something they posted on social media, and we know that sort of thing. And he went, well, is there a rule about it? I went, yeah, it's in the internet contract. You know, at the end of your contract to employment, we have a whole lot of stuff about behaviour on digital posting on the internet. And they went away and came back and went, well, I can't find it. Mm-hmm. I was in the contract, so I've got to copy the contract out. And it was completely blank.
Oh,
I'd actually nicked the contract of employment from my ex-wife's company, right? And it on the page, it said internet terms, and I didn't bother to read any past that. She must have sorted that out. It was blank.
Sometimes we see contracts and handbooks with other business names on there.
Yeah.
Like, not the business we're working with, where they have just lifted it from another, and you think, well, they say mention something, and you think, well, you don't deal with toxic waste. Why is that in here?
But again, it's things like that, internet usage, technology usage, you know.
Yeah, ChatGPT is a big thing now.
Yeah.
You know, social media is a big thing now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't politicize everything.
Sure.
But there are certain things that you certainly can manage.
Yeah. And just for what it's worth as well, I just want to finish up picking your brains. It's one of the huge benefits of doing a radio show. You get free advice. But just in general, we've now got a lot of people working at home, even if it's only part-time or flexibly. That has a lot of implications as well for how you manage people, and I suspect how you manage equipment as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, something that I've been saying to people, in the same way, if you had an office, you would make sure that all of your electrical equipment is pat tested. What you don't want to do is send somebody home with a laptop and it burns their house down or their flat down, you know, so that's not good.
Mm.
That's one thing. The second thing is, we actually had a guest blog done for us by Anna Wilkinson, who does insurance, and she was saying that if you've got people who are even driving to the post office to post a letter, which is a business thing, then they should have business on their insurance.
Yeah. It
doesn't really cost them much more. Sometimes it doesn't cost them anything more at all, but it's quite important for people to be doing that.
Yeah.
And then as well, there's data you need to think about. I always say, you know, people are working from home, that's great, but there might be other people in the building. There could be house sharing. They might have children, the dog, the cat, the hamster, friends and family. If you're talking about sensitive information, and that might not just be clients, it might be colleague to colleague, make sure that you've given them headphones, you know, encourage them to use those headphones so at least they can only hear one side of a conversation and not the second. Make sure that you've thought about what will happen to documents that have got people's data information on there, particularly if it's payment details or anything else, because and they're not just putting stuff in the bin. How are they then going to make sure that it's disposed of or transported back to the office afterwards? There's making sure that people are safe, so they've got a desk screen display equipment done, so they've got the right chair, they've got the right table, The list goes on, to be honest with
Absolutely.
you.
Absolutely. I was fascinated as well, talking about insurance, business insurance. I just want to warn people. I got a new car at the beginning of the year, and I went to insure it with my standard insurer, and they came back with a stupid quote that was a lot more than I'd paid the year before, and I wasn't having it. So I rang them up, and I went, I'm not having that. I've been with you years, so I've got no claims bonus and all the rest of it. No, I'm not paying that. And they said, well, let's start from scratch. And they go through. So they were trying to charge me £600 when I've been paying £400 before. We go through it all again, and they ask me a number of questions, and they go, right, your new quote is £1,200. I went, oh, hold on a minute, where did that come from? And they said, well, let's go through the questions again. And the question that caused all the damage was, partway through, they said, are you involved in any way with a charity? I went, yes, I'm a trustee of four charities. That's what put the money up. And I went, why has it put the money up? And they went, well, transporting. I said, I didn't say I transported anyone anywhere.
Yeah,
I know, but if you're a charity volunteer, you get... I said, I'm not a charity volunteer. I'm a trustee. I'm a non-executive director. I don't take anyone in my car anywhere. Mm. Yeah, well, we haven't got facilities for that. If you're in a charity, then you've got to pay the money. You know, off you go.
Yeah.
You know, you do get stupid stuff as well like that, where people just don't think it through properly. Cool. I mean, there's so many things there to think about, which is why people like yourself and Orchard Employment Law exist, because you're there to help us as small businesses. So thank you for that. I just want to... we've had a tweet from Dragon Co-Working. A great show. Gemma is fantastic, and she's on air talking about business and HR right now. So thank you for that. Just before we say goodbye to you for that bit, Gemma, you're going to be with us for the last 15 minutes of the show anyway, but is there anything else we need to think about? Anything we've missed or things that are happening or things that are changing? We've just changed... in April, minimum wage went up again. Yeah. Where it goes up every April. So
which means everything else has gone up. Sick pay's gone up, maternity pay's gone up, redundancy pay's gone up. We got caught out the other day doing a redundancy for a client. Because the person's length of service just took them over the April date, then it increased the amount they get per year.
Right.
So, all basically, everything's going up. Everything's going
what
up.
What a surprise.
Yeah. Everything's going up. There are quite a few things on the horizon, but I think it's always better to wait and see when those things happen, because...
Yeah, I mean, because we're due a general election next year as well, so we're never sure what will happen with that, because incoming governments, whoever they are, tend to change absolutely everything just for the hell of it, just to keep you on your toes. Okay. Employment is a minefield if you don't do it properly. I'm adamant about this. You really do need, if you're going to employ a number of people and you've got anything that worries you about the contracts or the way that you're employing people, do speak to an expert, because getting it right up front is far easier and far cheaper than where you get to in the long run if it all goes peak-tong. I just view it as an insurance policy, basically.
Pretty much. And you'd be surprised, it's actually much easier to engage people than you think it is.
Yeah.
You don't have to sign up to 5 years and 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to be coming to Emma... to Gemma soon, and she's going to be drawing me up some contracts of employment when I've got these new people sorted out. Because interestingly, they're going to be working for one of my companies that currently doesn't have any employees.
Mm.
So it's going to be all new for that, and which will be good.
And it's making sure you've got the right employer on the top of the... if you've got multiple businesses, making sure it's the right employer, making sure people have got the right employer on their contract.
Yeah. One last question. I don't know if you get involved in this. Workplace pensions. Do you get involved in that? I don't blame you. My workplace pension and the people in my main company, we've just had a laugh the last couple of weeks. We all suddenly started getting letters from the pension company threatening to report us to the pensions administrator because we hadn't made any payments since January. Well, I've got an app which tells you the performance of your pension.
Mm.
I go on the app and it's gone your January payment, your February payment, and your May payment. And on May, it's April. So I rang them up and eventually spoke to them, and they went, no, you haven't made any payments. So I went, but the app shows I have. No, the January payment would be November,
What?
He goes, oh, what are you talking about? And they went, yeah, it's the dates that it happens. No wonder people don't know what they're doing. If you think that January is November and May is February, then, you know, it's grief. Anyway, enough. Gemma, thank you so much for that. Give us a shout out for Orchard Employment Law.
Yeah, so you can visit our website, www.orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk, or follow me on Twitter at Gemma, J-E-M-M-A, Fair Hay. We've got a really wonderful free newsletter that I'm encouraging everyone to sign up to. It's only once a month. And we give all the tips and hints in there. So
fantastic. I actually get that newsletter and it's very worthwhile. So do check that out. Gemma, thank you for that. Sevenoaks Chamber, join us for our June the 7th Wednesday networking meeting in the centre of Sevenoaks. The meeting will be held at the Sevenoaks Vine Club and is sponsored by Welland Jones Funerals and Memorials. Yunnan Coffee will be provided by Henry Every from Imperial Jade, and we will be treated to a delicious spread by Chamber members, the Happy Grazing Company. Places are free to Chamber members, but you can bring a guest for 15 quid. And they will be raising money for their charity of the year, which is Sevenoaks Samaritans, taking place 7th of June, 10:30 till 12, kempinsradio.co.uk/Canada, to book your ticket.
Oh, so we have got an operatic tenor. Oh. I'm sure that's not a tenor. I can actually sing, by the way, just in case anyone's thinking.
Is that really how she sounds? That's not really how it sounds.
Operatic tenor. Nicky Spence is confirmed to perform at Leeds Castle Concert, known for his vocal and physical stature and charisma. I wish I could roll my R's. It would sound so much better. he's an artist of great integrity. His unique skills as a singing actor and rare honesty in his musicianship have earned him a place at the top of the music profession, and is an impressive addition to the lineup with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. I've seen them, they're really good. So if you want to find out more about that, how do they find out more about that? Is it Leeds Castle, I guess? Is it on
leedscastle.co.uk. Yeah,
so that sounds like it's going to be a great event. It's happening, I don't know when it's happening, but it'll be soon.
It's in July, isn't it?
In July.
We will give you more details as we get closer to the date. Martin Reeves has just tweeted. He said, I just had a nice visit from Kent Fire and Rescue, who were doing a door-to-door random advice service, so I've missed a bit of the Business Bunk show, so I'll catch up later. But it was well worth listening to the people from Kent Fire and Rescue.
Oh, right. That's good.
I went round to my old mum's a couple of weeks ago, and there were three firemen stood in her living room. And I went, oh, my God, what's she done now? But they were doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah. It's good. It's outreach. It's good. You can have your say on design and sustainability in new development. So this is a Maidstone Borough Council initiative. They're consulting on further development of the council design and sustainability development plan documents, DPD, and they're encouraging residents, businesses and stakeholders to have their say. The new plan will help embed good design and sustainability as a core element of new development in the borough. So, the consultation is open and it closes on the 12th of June. To get involved, now I think it's really important, you know, like as you were saying, Paul, when they're building new homes and things are happening in your area, get involved. Don't moan about it later.
Absolutely.
Get involved when you can. Get involved in that before the 12th of June. On the internet, it's maidstone.objective.co.uk/portal, and responses received to this consultation will then go on to inform a more detailed document which will be subject to further consultation.
Yep, absolutely. Rye Chamber of Commerce, bring your shades and a pocket full of business cards. The Rye and District Chamber of Commerce invites all ACES members, they are members of Chambers of Commerce around East Sussex, to their summer meeting. Join your peers from across East Sussex on a balmy evening to share your experiences of the last quarter over a glass of Pimm's en plein air.
Oh, I tried to do Pimm's the other day. It didn't work for me.
They're all posh down Sussex, aren't they? Our host, Little Gates Supported Employment, will welcome us at their training centre just outside Rye. We'll hear from the Little Gate Farm team about their incredible work, and you'll be treated to a tour of the fabulous facility. We're lining up live music from the Rye Variations All-Stars and serving a delicious barbecue sponsored by Rye Butchers. It says veggie options available.
Okay.
The bar will be open, so prepare to kick back and toast some marshmallows over the fire pit with your new contacts. This is no stuffy chamber meeting. It's taking place on the 14th of June at 6 p.m. at Little Gate Farm, Horseshoe Lane, Rye. You can find out more detail and book your place by going to campusradio.co.uk/calendar.
Super duper. So, did you know that you can access help from the Kent Business School Business Clinic?
Yeah.
So, discover if Kent Business School's high-caliber students and expert academics can offer solutions. They've got different areas of expertise, such as accounting and finance, analytics, operations and systems, leadership and management, marketing, entrepreneurship and international business. And all you need to do is email kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk with your queries.
Fantastic. I'm going to do this again. I've already mentioned it twice, but go for it. Because I'm going. I want to see as many of you there as possible. I'm going to be checking to make sure you all come. It's the Let's Talk Better. And Let's Talk Better is a caterpillar. It's not a caterpillar at all. It's a catalyst. It's a catalyst.
Well, I'm a caterpillar then.
The hungry caterpillar. That's what it is. Let's Talk Better is a catalyst for inspiring better conversations around taboo and stigma topics, raising greater awareness and how this can impact people's mental health and well-being. We're grateful to all those who have supported us so far and attended the launch event back in February. Our Loneliness and Connection event is going to be even greater with lots of interesting talks and discussions along with interactive activities. Please join us and support this campaign at our chosen charity, which is CASPA, C-A-S-P-A. To book your ticket, it's eventbrite.co.uk/loneliness-and-connection. Let's Talk Better. Or you can go to the website, which is letstalkbetter.org.
That's really fitting, isn't it? I think we've just finished Mental Health Week.
Yep, absolutely.
So we've got mental health charity West Kent Mind and leading South East construction entrepreneur Andrew Mann are urging people to understand and address the symptoms of anxiety and develop coping mechanisms to support their mental well-being in everyday life as part of Mental Health Awareness Week. So we know this is just finished, but you know, we can never not think about our mental health. Andrew, the founder of Clarity Homes and Commercial, and local charity West Kent Mind are teaming up to raise awareness about the staggering levels of poor mental health within the construction industry, which sees more than 700 suicides a year. That's really sad. He said, I'm now keen to encourage other leaders within the construction industry to start a positive dialogue about the sector's culture and how we can change this to create better outcomes for individuals and businesses. After all, happy teams are productive teams, and I definitely co-sign that message.
Yeah. Interestingly, I spoke at an event the week before last, which was I Trust Live with Genco Construction, that was all about mental health in the construction industry, and those figures are scary. The amount of suicides, and you know, without being funny or weird about it, the problem with construction is it still tends to be a hairy ass bloke's business. And those kind of men will suffer in silence, or worse, suffer by going to the pub and drinking themselves into oblivion rather than address it. And one of the things we talked a lot about was how you get around that. You know, there's a lot of enlightened construction companies that were offering wellness rooms, mentoring stuff, but people won't take advantage of it because they think it's not macho. Do you know what I mean? And that is a big, big problem. Yeah. Okay. Some more on Leeds Castle, Bye Bye Baby. To open at Leeds Castle concert, Bye Bye Baby, a jaw-dropping tribute to the musical phenomenon The Jersey Boys, sharing the timeless, iconic music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, are announced as the opening act for this year's Leeds Castle concert on the 8th of July.
There we go.
So join us at Leeds for the Leeds Castle concert with headline sponsors Brochures on Saturday, the 8th of July, 2023, for a truly memorable summer's evening of world-class entertainment set in Leeds Castle's glamorous surroundings. Tickets make the perfect, unique and memorable gift and are currently on sale at prices of £55 picnic and £65 seated. Purchase 10 or more tickets and receive a big discount. LeedsCastleConcert.co.uk is the website.
Super duper. So, Maidstone, you might have heard, I saw this on the news actually, that the Leisure Club, which was formerly managed by David Lloyd,
yep.
has been taken over by MLT, which is Maidstone Leisure Trust.
Yep.
So they want us to know that they're taking over running, in partnership with Circle Leisure, taking over running the fitness and club and gym at the Lock Meadow Leisure Complex. They're planning to provide exercise classes, swimming classes, along with hair and beauty treatments. It's like they thought about me all in one. They'll also be seeking a new tenant for the hairdressers, beauty therapy, treatment rooms and personal training. So come on, I know there are lots of businesses out there that provide beauty treatments, they're looking at hairdressers and all of those things. If that's you, take advantage, get in touch with Maidstone Council, do it quick before the show ends. Sign up to Maidstone Borough Council e-newsletters, stay connected to receive vital news and updates via email for the many services and events provided by the council, and that's maidstone.gov.uk/stay connected.
Fantastic. The University of Kent and Producing Kent have together launched a gleaning project that will see students work with farms to tackle food waste and reduce the environmental impact of surplus food. The project supports farms in the Kent Downs area of outstanding natural beauty, redistributing produce to businesses, charities and community groups in the Canterbury area using the Food Loop app. An act developed by Producing Kent, which connects those who have surplus food with those who need it. Statistics on volumes of surplus gleaned from Kent fields and redistributed to those who need it will be collected through the Food Loop and shared publicly.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's really great,
isn't
it? It's
fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just talking about gleaning there, the other night, I mentioned earlier, I don't know if I mentioned it off air or on air, but my old mum, 94, I've got a CCTV camera to look after her, and of course, when she wanders around, it sets off an alarm on my camera. 3 o'clock in the morning, the other morning, she got up and disappeared, and I couldn't see her for ages. Oh, I hope she's all right. I hope she's all right. She's got an SOS bracelet, but she has a habit of taking it off. I thought, I wonder if she's all right. So I rang her, and she went, hello. And I said, where are you? She said, I'm scrumping. I said, scrumping? Yeah, she said, I'm in the kitchen, scrumping biscuits. Cool.
We've got one more.
Yeah, go for it.
So we've got the Startup Roadshow. I love a roadshow. I kind of hope that it's in a van and they're on wheels, because that's what a roadshow is. Anyway, the Startup Roadshow, Maidstone 2023, is going to be hosted by the Southeast Angels and NatWest on the 8th of June. It's an opportunity for startups to showcase their ideals and network with local investors and fellow entrepreneurs. That always makes people think it's something they want to go to, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get money, yeah.
Yeah.
The event will include a networking session as well as a startup pitch competition and founders from a range of sectors. The pitches will be judged by a panel of industry experts, and the winners will receive prizes and the opportunity to meet potential investors. If you're a founder in Kent, this event is for you. That's at the Business Terrace, another fantastic venue, King Street, Maidstone, and it's 10 a.m. till 12:30, so not too early, not too late. For more details, then I would, again, look at the Kent Business Radio.co.uk website. Yep. I'm sure it'll be on the Business Terrace website too.
It will be, yeah. It's in kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, where you will find all the details there. Gemma, thank you so much for that. We've reached the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to my two guests, Loretta Wright of Life In magazines in Bromley and Orpington, and soon to be another one, which is a secret. to the fantastic Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law, as well as being a brilliant guest, she was also a fantastic co-host. So thank you both very much for that. Thank you to everybody that listened, emailed, tweeted,